Christmas, everyone. It's great to be together today. Today we're talking about the birth of hope. And one great thing about owning a Netflix subscription is that you get a new Christmas movie every year. So this one is That Christmas. I don't know if you've seen it yet, but it starts out with this quote. Christmas is a bit like an emotional magnifying glass. If you feel loved and happy, Christmas will make you feel even happier and more loved. But if you feel alone and unloved, the magnifier gets to work and makes all those bad things get bigger and worse. You know, I don't know if your 2024 was a terrific year or a terrible year, but this morning, what we're celebrating is that no matter where you've been this year, you can have hope. Because hope was born on Christmas Eve, amen? And so we're gonna jump in here, and there's this old kind of Southern pastor's, you know, phrase that says, when you are down to nothing, God is up to something. Look at the person next to you and say, God is up to something. God is up to something this Christmas. And we're talking about hope today. But whenever you talk about hope, you got to say, well, what kind of hope? You know, is it the hope that, man, I really hope UGA beats Notre Dame next weekend? You might feel like, as every good Christian should believe that and hope for that, right? It's not that kind of hope. It's not the type of hope that's like, oh, that would be nice. Like, it's not that type of hope. That doesn't really matter. The hope we're talking about today, you can build your whole life on. Peter calls it a living hope. The writer of Hebrews calls this hope an anchor for the soul. It goes deep, that no matter what storms of life you're in, this hope can root you and you can stay firm. It's that living hope that's an anchor for the soul that Jesus brought 2,000 years ago. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through the account of the birth of Jesus and read several different passages. But the question that I want us to be considering and reflecting on each time is, what was God showing us in the way that he came into the world? Because he could have chose any way to come into the world, but he chose that this way. And he chose this time. And he chose those people. Why? What was he trying to teach us? What was he trying to show us for years, for not only decades or centuries to come, but for thousands of years to come? So we're going to jump in here, and we're going to be jumping around Luke a little bit. We'll look at one passage in Matthew, but we're going to start out with the time. Like, when was this? And there's two phrases in Luke that kind of take us like from the, you know, the nebulous down to a specific time and even a specific year. And in Luke chapter 1, verse 5, it says, in the time of King Herod of Judea. And then in Luke 2, verse 1, both of these are kind of the starts of each of the birth accounts. In Luke 2, verse 1, it reads, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And now, if you're first time to the Bible, you might read that and immediately skip over it, but so much is in those two short phrases. First of all, where were the Jews during this time? It wasn't a time of Jewish power. No, God chose a time when they were under oppression, that Rome ruled the whole known world, that Rome had picked their puppet king, King Herod, to rule over the Jews, and he could do whatever he wanted. In fact, the Jews were so powerless that when King Herod says, hey, kill all the babies 2 years old and under, all the firstborn babies, firstborn males 2 years old and under in Bethlehem, the Jews couldn't do anything about it. So Jesus decided to come to a time not when the Jews were a world power, but when they were powerless. What was God showing us there? That he loves coming into hard situations. That when your life is difficult, when you don't know how things are gonna work out, who's gonna rule, what's gonna happen to my kids, God loves showing up in those moments and working. Because when you are down to nothing, God is up to something. And then we know the story, right? An angel comes to Mary that we read earlier and tells her that she's going to conceive and give birth to a son, and he will be great, and he will be Son of the Most High. But it's not all suns and rainbows. She has a lot of questions. And so later in Luke 2, or Luke 1, I'm sorry. She responds back to the angel after he says, you'll have this baby. And she says, how will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. This must have been hard for Mary. Now, I've never been pregnant, believe it or not. But we have three kids. My wife's been pregnant multiple times. Pregnancy isn't easy even when you were ready for it. Like, even when you're expecting it, pregnancy isn't easy. Much less when you're not expecting it. Much less when there's no physical way I'll ever get pregnant because I'm a virgin and you're telling me I have to be pregnant. That's hard. And then she's up for public disgrace because she got pregnant out of wedlock in that culture. She could have been shunned. She was probably the gossip of the town. This would not have been easy for Mary. And not only that, but God in the flesh decided to be born through a virgin. What was he doing? Why was he doing it that way? What was he trying to show us? Well, what he was trying to show us was that he can take the impossible and to show his infinite power. Something that should have never happened, a virgin giving birth, can happen with God. What is impossible with man is possible with God. But what about Joseph? If this was hard for Mary, was it hard for Joseph? Well, back in Matthew, we kind of see more of Joseph's account and how he viewed this whole situation. In Matthew 1:18, it says, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. This must have been hard for Joseph. Can you imagine your fiance, who you've been waiting to marry, you're so excited about that wedding night, and y'all haven't been intimate, y'all haven't had sex, and she comes to you and says, I'm pregnant? And you say, what? No, no, it's not a bad thing, it's a good thing, I'm pregnant with the Holy Spirit. Excuse me? Like, what? This would have been hard for Joseph. This would have been confusing for Joseph. How is this working? What's gonna happen? Where do I stand in all this? And you gotta ask the question again, why did God do it this way? Well, one of the greatest miracles of all time happened amidst confusion, amidst hardship, amidst even embarrassment. The biggest unexpected change of plans, the greatest miracle of all time, came in during that situation. Yet this is when the hope of the world decided to show up. You know, we miss it so often, guys. When we think that if God's gonna work, it's gonna be easy. And yet so often it's not. God loves working when it's hard. God loves working when it's confusing. God loves working when you don't know how it's gonna work out. God likes doing things the hard way. He loves to work when no one thinks it will work to show his power instead of our power. So this morning, don't think you're weird if you're having hard things going on in your life. Don't think there's something wrong with you if there's something that's confusing or you can't figure out. If you're wondering, why is this happening right now? Don't think that means God is against you. He might be using that very thing to show up in your life. He might be using that very thing. When life is hard, when plans change and you're confused, that's exactly when God loves the work. That's exactly when God loves to teach you a hope that no storm can take away from you. It's not a hope a true hope isn't when everything's going great, but a true hope is when God teaches you hope when nothing is going well. That's a true hope that we can learn, amen? So then, of course, the incredible birth, right? Continuing on in Luke chapter 2, Caesar had called a census, so all the males had to go back to their home of heritage. And so Mary and Joseph went from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And this is where we pick up. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. When God came into the world, he could have chosen any way to come he wanted. You know, we talk about Santa Claus coming in like on his red sleigh a lot nowadays during the season. Do you remember the chariots, the flying chariots of fire from Elijah? Like God could have came in, Jesus could have came in that, right? Like Santa Claus would have had nothing on him. He could have came with an S on his chest for Savior of the world, right? Coming on a cloud. He could have came however he wanted. And yet he didn't. He decided, this wasn't accidental. He decided this was the best way. This was the perfect way. This was the way to show who he is. He came when his people were under oppression. He came through a virgin that got pregnant out of wedlock. And he didn't even make reservations in the inn before he got there. Like you thought he could have gotten a good Airbnb or something. And yet he wasn't in the Ritz-Carlton, he was with the animals. The word became flesh. The almighty God, the being that created all the universe, the first time he shows up on planet Earth in physical form, and he shows up where the animals eat and is laid in the wooden trough, the manger, is where he lays. What was he trying to show us? It's one of the greatest events of all time, but it happened in a no-name town, with no hospital or an inn. It was where the animals ate. What was God trying to show us in the way he came to this world? There's a lot of different things we could learn from this, but this morning, as we're talking about hope and what can give us hope in the hardest times, I want us to consider that God is trying to show us this, that God came in weakness so that you can know that in your weakness, he is strong. That he came in weakness, not on the clouds, not on chariots of fire. He came with disgrace, with embarrassment, with oppression, to show even in this weak time where no one sees, when no one thinks anything could ever happen, I can make something happen. That even when there should be not something powerful, this isn't where the Messiah should come from, this definitely shouldn't be how a king is born. No, I'm strong enough for a king to come out of that. So that when you're at your low point, you can have hope also. And what we're going to do here is Toya is going to come up and she's going to be able to talk more about this in the perspective of Mary.
Good morning. Merry Christmas. You know, I love this topic because it challenges me. I think sometimes it can feel like a whimsical thought. Let's be hopeful. That's like the right answer. But really, as believers, we are actually called to hope, right? Like we're called to do that. But call to hope can sometimes be synonymous with called to hard, right? Like, I can't help but think of Mary in this season. My favorite song, even before I was a mother, was Mary, Did You Know? And even now, as a mom, especially to three sons, I'm like, she had no idea. Like, there's just no way. She did not know. I know that. And so I think, you know, she's being called to be the mother of the Savior of the world. So God tells her what, but he reveals the how kind of one step at a time. And I think that's for the best, right? Because sometimes if you know the whole plan, you're like, actually, no, I'm not going to do that. I can't be hopeful through that. But it wouldn't be easy to do what God had called her to do. It wouldn't be easy to give birth in a manger as a first-time mother after riding on a donkey at 9 months pregnant for 90 miles. That's from Kennesaw to Chattanooga, if you were wondering. If I'm 9 months pregnant, I don't want to ride in a Tesla that long. Like, I want to go to labor. That's the only place I want to go. But she did those things, and she pondered that in her heart along the way. In the same way, I believe we are called to hope through the hard. You know, for me, hope does not come easy. I once told my therapist one time, I don't want to hope. She said, well, maybe start a gratitude journal. I said, I don't want to be grateful either. Work in progress, right? For me, anxiety is my natural bent. Anxious thoughts, I'm naturally bent to bitterness, naturally bent to fear, naturally bent to the victim mentality, the worst case scenario mindset. And I saw it impacting my marriage. I saw it impacting my experience as a mom, again, to three boys, three massy boys, okay? Let that stick in. It's really anxiety driven, okay, for me sometimes. And I saw it impacting my health. I was having anxiety attacks regularly at one point. And it got to the point where God was inviting me, do you think this can change? Do you think something can be different? And right now, I'll tell you, I'm in the fight of my life to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. And I don't know about you, maybe your thoughts come every hour that you have to take captive. Mine are about every 19 seconds. And I'm not joking with you. I have to fight to hope. I have to fight to practice hopeful imagination, because my imagination will abuse me. And I am fighting like I don't know what to change the rhythm of my mind. You know, I'm inspired by many women who are called to hard and do it with a hopeful heart. I think about my good friend Brittany, who has been studying the Bible. She's a young mom. She's getting baptized today at 3 o'clock. And it is not easy as a young mother to look up and make time to, one, read your own Bible, let alone to study the Bible and make the decision to become baptized into Christ. Like that's inspiring to me. I think about women who have faced health challenge or a new diagnosis and have resolved to be hopeful and faithful. I especially think about my single sisters during this time who have to go around family and answer hard questions. If you are in that family, don't ask the question. That's just me giving you a tip. Don't ask. But I think it can be hard for people in different situations where the world is expecting something of them and they don't know how to give it and they don't know how to be it. You know, I think, considering my hard and considering your hard, I want to encourage us, how can we filter our hard through hope? Because really, there's no point in subscribing to the gospel message if we refuse to filter hope into it. You know, I'm finding that God calls us to what and gives us the how along the way. And my prayer is that we will stay in step with the Spirit every single moment, whether it's 17 seconds, 17 minutes, or every 3 days, where the Spirit guides us and we listen to his calling. Right now, we're going to listen to my favorite song, Mary, Did You Know? And Jordan's going to come and close us out after that song. But as the words of the song are being sung, I really encourage you to consider your heart. And what are the paralleled questions that might, if a song was written about you, might be asked? And are you willing to really filter hope through that question?
Good job, man.
Did you know that your baby boy
Amen. I think not knowing so often is the essence of hope. When you don't know, Mary, did you know? If she knew, she wouldn't have to hope. But because she didn't know, she had to hope. I heard this acronym that I love for hope, H-O-P-E. Hold on, pain ends. Hold on, pain ends. And in those moments when you don't know, just hold on because pain will end. We want to close out with one more passage here before we take communion. And it's talking about hope in Romans 8. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it, what? Patiently. There is power in patient hope. There's power in patient hope. You know, there's a song, you know, Waymaker. If we're talking about when you're down to nothing, God is up to something. You remember that phrase you repeat in Waymaker, that song? That's, even when I can't see it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop. This is why I don't sing on stage, because of that, right? But even when you don't see it, he's working. When we watched that, maybe it was 3 Christmases ago, we sang that. It was virtual service, and we had my aunt and uncle in town. And my aunt goes, you know, you never stop working. That's like a mom. And she's like, and that became like an inside, even when you don't know what I'm working, all right? And I'm always doing something. But guys, think about it. How is your hope when you can't see how God is working? When you can't see it. When you or a loved one got a bad report from your doctor, how's your hope? When you are sick and tired of people asking you, when are you going to get married? Or when are you going to have kids? And you're just tired of people exposing that. How's your hope? When your marriage hits a sticking point and you get in that same cycle again and again and again. How's your hope? You know, Toy and I, we're coming up on 10 years in the spring in our marriage. And so we've been evaluating a lot. And we've noticed that there's these cycles, these conversations or disagreements that we get in that just happens again and again and again. And we've started trying to like expose that and talk to our mentors about it. And honestly, I can get kind of frustrated after the 100th time having the same conversation. Are we ever going to stop having this talk? And I love my wife. We're incredible. But there's those moments when you're like, it's hard to have hope when you can't see how God is working. You know, true hope is not just when you have a clean bill of health, when your relationship and family life is exactly where you want it to be, where your marriage and career are doing good. That's not what I'm asking. What I'm asking is, how's your hope when they're not doing good? When you don't know how it's gonna work out? And I encourage everyone, even when you can't see it, to have hope. Why do I say that? Because our hope is different than the world's. The world needs to know how it's gonna work out to have hope. Our hope doesn't have to know how, because our hope knows a who. You don't have to know how, you don't have to know when, you don't have to know where, because you know who. You know who is watching over, you know who is taking care of the world. You know who came from heaven to this earth to walk with you, to be with you, Emmanuel. And because you know who, doesn't matter what storm is going on, you can have a hope. That anchor for the soul, like in Hebrews, that what is that anchor for? It's for a storm. On the surface, there's wind and there's waves and there's rain. But down beneath the surface, that anchor clutches and it doesn't matter what's going on up here because your hope has been secured in Jesus. That's what I call us to have, church, in 2025. I hope that no matter where you're at, that you can have a hope to live off of. You can have a hope to find joy in. You can have a hope to give you love and life and peace. Because your hope isn't in a what or a how, but your hope is in a who. Amen? Our hope is in Jesus Christ. I want to call all of us, like Toya said, as a practical, don't use your imagination in 2025 for fear. Use your imagination to hope. And in those bad situations, instead of letting the anxiety spiral you down about what could go wrong and what could get worse and what could be terrible, to go, no, how could God use this? And what could be good? And how could I be confident in his goodness? Even in months that trial. This, I believe, is one of the most powerful messages of the Christmas story. that amongst oppression and hardship and confusion, the hope of the world was born. To show us that amongst our hardship, our confusion, and our depression, or our not knowing how it's gonna work out, God can still bring hope. Amen? I did want to say, if you're here today and you don't usually go to church, and you might be here because grandma asked you to, and you know you should not say no to grandma, right? And you're here, but maybe you've realized that when you build your hope off your bank account, that doesn't work in the long run. Maybe you've realized that when you put your hope on a person or a relationship, that that doesn't work in the long run. And maybe you're coming here and there's just something inside of you that feels like, I need a new hope for my life. I need a new way for my life. I just want to encourage you, 2025 can be different. So we would love to help you. If you don't usually come to North River and you're here visiting, we want to say welcome. We want to say that, hey, we're messed up too. We're trying to figure it out also. But man, we love being a family together. We walk the way of Jesus together in his spiritual family. And if you're new here for the first time visiting, we actually got a gift for you in the back at the welcome desk. We would love to meet you. I'm going to be back there afterwards. We'd love to meet you and help you get plugged in to one of our family groups because we believe that no one should go through this life alone. And that if anything, on Christmas, it was God saying, I don't want you to go through it alone, humankind, because I'm going to go through it with you. But we believe we can do that with each other also. That church doesn't just happen in rows, but it happens in circles. So we love getting connected. So please don't just come here and then, hey, see you next Christmas. But no, we'd love to get connected to you and help you in 2025. Amen? So we're about to take communion here, and we love celebrating communion every week here at North River. We love being a church not built off of mankind, but built off of Jesus Christ. So we remember his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And in a moment, we're gonna take the bread that represents his body and the juice that represents his blood. And on this day, while we love celebrating, remembering the cross every week, man, today, we remember that the cross never could have happened without the birth. Yeah. That unless God decided to leave his godliness to come down and to become flesh, he never could have died for us. So I pray that as you remember Christ here in a moment, we're going to have a moment of silence before we sing and are able to have a little candlelight. Remember hope. Remember how God brought hope into the world at that birth. And how he can bring hope to you in 2025. Let's say a prayer together. God, we are so grateful for Jesus. We wouldn't be here without Christ. We wouldn't have hope without Christ. We wouldn't have anything without Christ. And Father, as we remember his death and his burial and his resurrection, and how he died for our sins so that we didn't have to have a fear of death anymore. God, we remember this morning that that wouldn't have happened unless you decided to, Jesus, to leave heaven and come to earth to be with us and to bring us hope in the flesh. And God, I know there's so many different situations going on in our lives across this room, but God, I pray that in each life, in each person's hearts, that they can find new hope in you this holiday season. We love you, God, and in Jesus' name we pray, amen.